Let's turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 4. I think Michael told me last week that their family would be gone today. Michael has done a good job walking us through 1 Peter. His approach to it, most definitely different than mine, but I've appreciated it. It's been good, and he's brought out a lot of great truths. I was reading this passage a few weeks ago, and I've been focusing in quite a bit in chapter 4. And I remember Michael addressing things and teaching on things prior to verse 7 and after verse 7. And if I was asleep while he was teaching in verse 7, I apologize, but I'm sure that what I'm going to bring out would just add to what he has brought out. Verse 7 of chapter 4, the end of all things is at hand, literally has come near. Therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. I hope to kind of take this verse apart and expose all of us to the details that's tucked in here. And I do hope it's an inspiration for us to do what Peter is telling us to do. The end of all things is at hand. This should automatically be a sobering reality check. But Peter goes on, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit. And I'm going to take those two phrases, refine those down. Be of sound judgment. I see at least two parts of this sound judgment. It means a distinguishing of priorities and a discerning of values. Here's what I mean. Distinguishing of priorities is measuring the importance of things. The lesser important things settle to the bottom of our priority list, and the things of greater importance take the top positions. Sound judgment. But it's also discerning of values or quality between truth and error, which goes along with some of the prayer requests, between good and bad, between right and wrong. According to God's revealed word, He has given us the measuring scale. Be of sound judgment, but also be of sober spirit. I am surmising, since Peter doesn't open it up with more explanation, that Peter is speaking here of our focus. Sober spirit. That we keep a check on where our mind and affections spend most of their time. Sober spirit. That we be not easily distracted, not double-minded. Yes, I trust God, but I'm going to take this in my own hands. Not trusting our flesh and understanding, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Remember what that says, right? Or trusting other people, but trusting God alone. And the reason he tells us is for the purpose of prayer. That's the part that caught me when I looked at this. In order for me to pray well, in order for me to pray as I ought, it appears that I need to be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer, not just flippantly approaching God when it's a 911 situation, or saying my little prayer at mealtime, but for the purpose of prayer. Which helps me then to come back and be of sound judgment and sober spirit. I think those will go together. for the purpose of prayer, because the end of all things is at hand. The first phrase and the last phrase fit together, and those two in between kind of gel them. For the purpose of prayer, because the end of all things is at hand. We are 2,000 years closer to that. Peter, looking around him, he knew that everything out there was against Jesus and Jesus' followers. He knew, and Paul knew, that the Lord Jesus could show up at any time and set things well. They knew, both of them talked about all of the things that are going to transpire against Christ and his followers prior to Jesus coming. It's like, yeah, the end of all things is at hand. Be this for the purpose of prayer. Our focus should be in prayer. I'm going to talk about that just a little bit more. Prayer. Kind of a new refining for me. Speaking to God. And let that one settle in. God, the creator of heaven and earth. Isaiah 40 describes him as holding the universe in the palm of his hand. You know, that God, that little dinky death speck me, can talk to him. And he is interested in that talk. Speaking to God, addressing him, trusting, no matter what's going on, trusting in his goodness, trusting in his sovereign ability, trusting in his perfect will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is not waiting for inspiration to pray. This is proactive. It is simply bowing our heart and directing our mind to address him. This is purposely looking to him and waiting on him with or without words. I'm going to look at Romans chapter 8. From here, we're going to be visiting a few other scriptures. Romans 8. Our identity in Christ is kind of being summed up here in a lot of ways, beginning at verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And this is the discerning. There are two types of people. They are in the flesh or they're in the spirit. They're either in God or not in God. Being in the spirit in this conversation right now isn't anything supernatural. It's not about a lot of experiential stuff. It's about who you are. Are you an in-spirit one or in-flesh one? It's going to describe it a little bit more here. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That's an in-flesh one. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, we still live in that carcass, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, our identity in Christ. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption. You've been placed as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So that kind of pulls in what I'm talking about in 1 Peter 4, 7. Abba, Father, addressing him. It literally, this wording is a crying out to him. In Mark 14, when Jesus cried out to Abba, Father, it was a crying out in the destitute place of his soul, in a sense, and the pain of all that was going on. In Galatians chapter 4, the Spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is not just a little term that, you know, hey, how are you doing today, Dave? You know, it is, Daddy, help me, that Jesus cried out. The Spirit within us cries out, and that we can cry out. Keep going. 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. Drop down to 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's why I say with or without words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For the purpose of prayer. For the end of all things has come near. Back in 1 Peter 4, 7. The time is short. The days are evil. And God is king. That should be our sobered reality check. The time is short, the days are evil, and God is king. Javier, that sounded like your prayer request. You know what I'm saying? Needs may increase, our provisions may decrease. But our Father knows, and his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he answers Paul back and says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient, and his wisdom is always available. James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, and it's in the midst of trials, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Fred, that's your request for Paul. Paulo, his grace is sufficient, his wisdom is available. So purpose to pray. It only makes sense. God is there, and God knows, and God is able, and God is good. God has a will that is right, and I'm stuck. When I rely on my own understanding, things get really goofy, tangled. I had several people reach out to me in the last couple of weeks asking if I can help untangle their mess. I can't. And their heart aches. Truly, their heart aches. Why? How did this couple get to where they are? It didn't just start last Wednesday. I can't untangle it. But we've got a God who can. I don't always sleep through the night. And oftentimes when I'm awake wanting to go back to sleep, my mind starts working. And I start thinking about some of those people. And they do get prayed for at 3 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning. Or, you know what I'm saying? What do I even pray? God, I don't even know what to pray. But I'm putting their names before you. God, help them sort it out. Direct them with the wisdom, the ability to know what to do from God. It only makes sense. His grace is sufficient. His wisdom is available. So purpose to pray. I want to look at several passages about prayer this morning, beginning in Ephesians. On Monday nights, I'm involved with a group of young adults in Grants Pass. Missy and Aaron are part of that group consistently. We've got a handful of others from Tacoma that are there, with people from probably 3 other churches, sometimes 4 that are there. Oh, yeah, that's right. Olivia. Yeah. Haley's been there a time or two. 2 weeks ago, I began teaching on spiritual warfare to this group because I know each one of them. I've spent intimate time with each one of them, and they're carrying loads. Even as late teens into the 20s and 30s, they're carrying burdens, not recognizing who the enemy really is. How's the enemy working? So part of that study is right here in Ephesians 6. And it's about the armor of God, which is not simply metaphorical. And it's not simplistic just to be left in the little Sunday school classroom with a picture of the Roman guard and all the pieces of the armor. Well, isn't that cool? We talked about Roman guards today. Well, this is God is for us our armor. He is this. And you need him. At the end of that, verse 18, part of the God connection for us with all prayer and lists, petitions. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And again, I don't think this means that I have to get some big experiential thing going. It's being there and honest and raw before God, speaking out what the needs are. Let him pray within his... How does he change my human words to be his sovereign will? I don't know. But I don't think I always pray exactly as I should. But somehow he aligns it as I pray, purposing to do that. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. By the way, that would take me away from just reading a simple little written from a book of prayers. It's not just reciting. It's bearing your heart. And if those written prayers, by the way, get to what your heart needs to bear, pray them. Pray them. There's some great prayers in the Scripture that are written. Pray in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul says, pray for me too, by the way. Pray in my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Ron, back to your prayer request. Not just simple scripture lineup, but how does that fit into a worldview that is so twisted, so tainted, so damaged? How does that work? And that's where this comes in. Turn to Philippians, please. We've spent some weeks in Philippians 4. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. That's part of prayer. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 6, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. 1 Timothy chapter 2 will be the last place that we turn, at least on my notes. We'll see what the interaction has. 1 Timothy 2, beginning at verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. There is no other way to understand the word all, but it means all. What am I to pray for them? He mentions kings and all who are in authority. Why for them? In order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. What is God's heart? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. And I mean to say, I believe this literally word for word. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. How else can I pray for people than for them to know the God of truth? And I do pray that. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. And for this, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands, which is set in opposition against unholy hands. That our work and what we do would line up with who we say we are. I don't believe that this is telling us the posture of prayer is like this. If you're not doing this, you're not praying. It is looking to him, having a life that is living what we claim to have. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. You want to kill your prayer life? Stay in the wrath and dissension. By the way, 1 Peter 3:7, men, if you want to kill your prayer life, don't treat your wife well. Because if you're not treating her well, God says, I'm not listening to your prayer. In order that your prayers not be hindered, live with her in an understanding way. Okay, I would rather that God heard me. Okay, well, you better clean some things up, bud. No wrath and dissension. That's with others. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit. Our priorities and our focus for the purpose of prayer. 1 Peter 4:7. Okay, I'm ready for discussion. And Ron, those are two different topics, both of them dealt with in Romans 6 through Romans 8. Okay, putting to death the deeds of my flesh, this body that I still live in, still has its lusts, it still has its stuff. that's the stuff I'm supposed to be putting behind me and walking in righteousness. But are you a flesh one? Then you don't know Jesus. You don't have Jesus. Are you a spirit one? You have the Lord. Now, give over to him. Allow him that work in your life. So there in Romans 8, it's a distinction of identity, either in Christ or out. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Two different, using same words, but two different conversations. No. But I go in and out of those old things. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Interaction. Cool. So,
where's everybody?
So I think it was Dwight L. Moody that gave a pretty packed sermon and then said, now go out and talk to your God. I like that. You know, that this is intended for us to be real with ourselves and with God. 1 Peter 4:7. Father, I thank you for the scripture and that I have not come to the end of it yet. You're constantly bringing things out and applying it to my brain and my heart, my motivation. And I do come before you, bow before you, Lord, be glorified in our church family. And these lives that are here this morning and those that are traveling out doing something else. Father, we pray that our community, Tacoma, the Illinois Valley, Grants Pass, our community, Lord, would see the sobering reality of God in a man and in a woman. And want that reality. Father, help us to work past all of the bad advertising, whether it's been our own wrong choices or those of others that claim to be Christian. That there would be ones like maybe JT that would just get honest with you, honest with themselves. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your scripture. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.